beginning at verse number 1, the Bible said, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." Again, I don't want you to think that I'm insinuating anything. If there's something to be said, I'll say it. And tonight, I feel the thing that works and that is for the church. At verse number 2, and he says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die." Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Now, tonight, I want to preach from this thought. Is it just a thing? Is it just a thing? Amen. And I know in my title, I capitalize the first of every word, but the word "just" I put in all caps. Is it just a thing? He said, strengthen the things which remain. Amen. Praise God. And so for a little while tonight, I'm going to preach, is it just a thing? Praise God. Let's ask the Lord to help us here tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you. We appreciate you. Oh, I need you tonight. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord and just thank the Lord. God, we're praising you and magnifying you and exalting you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Savior, we worship you, Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. The word "thing" does not necessarily bring about a positive thought. It's spoken of in such a context. Somebody would say, "Well, that thing over there," or "I was just picking up a few things." Anything that labeled as just a thing seems to signify that negligence is present and that the thing has lost its importance, lost even its identity, and lost even its worth. It's just something. It's just a thing. But nevertheless, neglecting the wrong things in life can lead to catastrophic events. If we were to allow a small leak in a boat, and we would say it's just a small leak, it's just a small thing compared to such a large vessel. Amen. We know that just that small thing would possess the capacity, the ability to sink that big ship if left unattended. People that would have a weak heartbeat, if they neglect that, if they ignore that small thing, that could lead and signify that death is near. It's not something to just be played with. Small bills in our financial life can be disastrous, even though they are small things. But when you have a whole lot of small things there, it adds up to bigger amounts. And it is simply the small things there that would be able to sink an individual. Solomon said it like this, that it was the small foxes that would spoil the vine. Just small things, just something here and something there. And so God would begin to speak unto this church in Sardis, and he would tell John, the revelator, to write these things. And he told him, he said, I want you to tell them to strengthen the things which remain. In other words, there was no necessary rebuke for the things that were gone. For the things that were gone were gone. Amen. And the Lord just simply emphasized, let's just strengthen the things that remain. Amen. There's some things that aren't going to come back to life. There's some things that we'll just have to worry about later. But these things right now, the things that are here right now, amen, let's work on strengthening these things. It was a warning about the things that were still there, but the things that were slowly dying. Amen. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. Amen. One rarely loses anything at once, but it is one thing at a time. It's not an enormous amount that can be lost, even though it can be, but it's just simply, amen, as the prophet would say, here a little and there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. It's just one thing here and one thing there. And the Lord said, you need to strengthen the things that remain because they're fading away. They're not dead, but they're close to being dead, and you need to strengthen them. I would say tonight that neglect is a sure way for something to just simply become a thing. In the book of 1 Kings chapter number 18, the Bible says that Elijah would go and that he would repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And that's just simply because that somebody stopped paying attention to that altar. Somebody stopped taking care of the altar. And the altar began to break down. The altar began to deteriorate and began to crumble. And it came a time that Elijah needed it. And the Bible said that first of all that he had to repair the altar of the Lord. And I submit to you tonight that a prayer life is lost just simply one prayer meeting at a time. Amen. It's just one prayer time, amen, at a time. That you would begin to think to yourself, well, I didn't get to pray today, but it's just one day. Amen. It's just a moment. It's just one time. And fasting, amen, is that is neglected would get harder and harder to fix and harder to accomplish. Burdens that are not taken care of, burdens that are placed upon us by God, that are not nurtured and that not given proper attention to, seem to fade away into oblivion and just become a thing of the past. Sensitivity to God becomes just a thing that one doesn't even realize that it is lost until much later in time. Samson would wake up and he would go back, amen, to face the Philistines as he had done before, not even realizing that the presence of the Spirit of God was no longer upon him. Convictions that you and I have, amen, if we are not careful, they will begin to erode with the winds of false doctrine. It's not that they are gone, but it's just simply that they're not like they used to be. They've got to be guarded. They've got to be maintained. Amen. They've got to be put in alignment with something that is real. Amen. So that when time begins to erode and drifting begins to happen, that we have got something to look back upon and say, no, everything is still the same that it's always been. Amen. Anything that you do not give attention to, anything that you do not strengthen, it is eventually going to fade away, and it is eventually going to die. It does not matter what it is. You could pay $1,000 for a pair of shoes, and you could take care of them, but when you begin to neglect them, they just become something that's in the closet, taking up room. Amen. They collect dust. They get scuffed. They're not taken care of. The passion is no longer there. The love, the vision, the sacrifice, the feeling of sacrifice is no longer there. It's just another small thing that has become what it is. Amen. Paul would tell the, amen, those that was a part of the Hebrew church, he would say in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. There's something that's good, amen, about new things. There's something, amen, that is right about new things. But Paul said there is a danger in letting the things that we have heard slip. We've got to make sure that we give the more earnest heed to the things which we have already heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Truth does not leave dramatically. Truth leaves on a slippery slope. Doctrine, amen, does not disappear overnight, but doctrine slowly becomes a thing of the past. Convictions, amen, do not erode, amen, in a week's moment, but they become something that's just in the way and pushed aside for prevalent feelings and such. Amen. And they just become a thing of the past. Standards of faith that we have held to for so long, amen, began to slip away just simply because they're not flown as high as they used to fly. Amen. Not flown as brightly as they used to be. Nobody wakes up one day lost. Amen. But they drift into it because they let the things that they have heard slip away. The things that they have been taught slip away. What once was precious just becomes a thing. What once was so great, amen, just becomes an obstacle. And what once used to be a large obstacle is now just something that we don't even have to get huffed up about to get past. And we oftentimes forget it because it's just a thing, because we're no longer giving the earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Praise God. Praise God. It wasn't just Paul. It wasn't just John. It wasn't just Jesus. Amen. But Peter said, there are some things that God hath given us. 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 3. He said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I want you to know that God gives us everything that we need. God supplies us with everything that we need. Amen. Somebody may say, I don't have a whole lot of faith, but God gives you what you need to be able to go. I don't know if I can make it. God grants you the grace to be able to make it. God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. I want you to know tonight that the issue isn't the lack of, but it is rather the neglect of certain things. God's word comes through the preaching, amen, and we hear it. And God's word comes through the reading, and we see it, amen, and we cannot neglect the things that we have heard and neglect the things that God hath given unto us pertaining unto life. God teaches us how to make it. God tells us how to walk. God tells us where to go, how to be. God prompts us when to repent and when to get right. And the problem is us. I said the problem is us. We neglect some things. We neglect to hear some things. We neglect to pay attention to some things. Amen. But Peter says, amen, that God hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You will notice, amen, that people, amen, will have ample opportunity to grow stronger in God, to get right with God before they ever walk out on God. Amen. We can reminisce and we can say, if they would have just responded in that service. Amen. And we can all collectively say, amen, so many times that the power of God was so strong and that the prayer was so prominent and people were praying, but they sat there. They didn't respond. They didn't move. Amen. But it wasn't because God didn't give them opportunity. Amen. God was giving them everything they needed. Amen. Pertaining unto life and godliness. To be successful. I want you to know tonight, I'm getting to the crux of all of this today, but there are promises that God hath given us as a church. There are promises that God hath given you as individuals, and you have got to make sure that you are paying, amen, adequate attention to them. I don't care how old they are. I don't care how forlorn they happened. Amen. There are some things that God hath given you. God has given you a specific word. God has given you things, amen, unto godliness. And it is up to you to make sure that those promises stay strong, that those promises stay red hot in your mind. Amen. The reason that they fade into, amen, somewhere under the rug or into the past is because we're not paying attention to them. We're not giving them proper credence, but let's go back and let's call to remembrance every promise that God hath given us, every prophetic utterance that God hath made the church, and let's stand on it and let's not stop praying about it. You've got to strengthen the things that remain lest they die. Don't
tell me I used to have a promise. Don't tell me I used to have a prayer life. Don't tell me I used to have convictions. I'm here tonight to encourage you. You got to strengthen those things. Don't let the devil steal your convictions. Don't let the devil steal your promise. Don't let the devil steal your prophetic utterance. But pastor, that was so long ago. God's word is sure, forever settled. Either he said it or he didn't say it. But if he said it, strengthen the things that remain lest they die. They're not just things, but they are things that pertain unto life. They're not just things. They're things that pertain unto godliness. They mean something to me. They've got worth, amen, to me. I love the things of God, but it's up to me to protect the things of God. Praise God. We aren't lacking things, but rather we are overlooking things because for some reason they have lost their shine, they have lost their luster, they have lost their importance, they have lost their identity, and they're just something of the past. There is importance in all things. Amen. Jesus would say, amen, Matthew 23:23. Amen. Jesus was speaking unto the scribes and the Pharisees, and he said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done." Will you allow me just to emphasize, amen, and bring proper credence to it? He said, these ought you have to have done. You could very easily slip in there and accentuate the context by saying, these things ought you to have done. Amen. You should have done these things, he says, and don't leave the other things undone. Amen. The focus was upon other things, the minor things. He said, you've paid the tithe of mint and anise and cumin. You've done the small things, but it's the weightier matters. It's the weightier matters of the law, the weightier matters of the things, of things that you haven't done. Amen. Your focus is upon these things, but there's some other things that you need to take care of. There's some other things that you cannot neglect. There's some other things that you cannot forego. You cannot turn your back upon them. He said, you've got to, amen, you've omitted these things, but you need to pay attention and take care of these things. He said, the small things matter and the weightier things matter. All things matter. Amen, these things ought you to have done and not leave the other things undone. I want you to know tonight that you cannot replace important things with lesser things or even any other things. Everything has its place and everything is important. You cannot replace, amen, your prayer life, amen, by saying, I read an extra chapter in the Bible. You cannot replace your chapter. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. You cannot replace your Bible reading by saying, I listened to a podcast over here. Amen, there's some things that's allowable to do, but you cannot forget the other things. You've got to make sure that you don't neglect the weightier matters. Your prayer life matters. Your fasting life matters. Your Bible reading matters. Your faithfulness matters. Your convictions matter. Everything else may have its place, but these are the things that matter.
Praise God. Let me just say it again.
Jesus said, those things you should have done. But there's other things. The things that you're doing doesn't replace these other things. Just because you're doing these things, it doesn't replace other things. Praise God. I wished everybody was here. I may preach this again Sunday night. Amen. By that time, I'll have hopefully repented and gotten right and everything and stuff, and I'll be able to preach it a whole lot easier. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. You know, this is where the buck's got to stop. Amen. I take full responsibility in these things. The importance of all things. Again, Solomon said it was the little foxes that spoil the vines. It doesn't matter how small. It doesn't matter how trivial the thing may be. It has its importance. And there are things that are small or great, and they can help us. But then there's also other things that no matter how small or how great can be destructive to us. Amen. And I'm going to fall through this one quickly here tonight. But the Bible teaches us, I don't even remember. I'm going to tell you it's Corinthians. I want to say it's chapter 6. I don't remember. And I think it's 1 Corinthians. It may be 2. I think it's chapter 6. I didn't write it down. I wrote down what it says, but I didn't write it down. Praise God. Small things matter, huh? But Paul says, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ? And then he gives a list of things. Things. And he says, shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Amen. Can these things separate you? I'm moving quickly. I'm not chasing those rabbits. Amen. He said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And then he lists another group of things. He said there's death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I could take the time and I could go back and we could dissect all of it. But you know what? There's some things that bother people, some people more than other people. And that's why the list is so inclusive and so broad, because it covers probably all of us. Something that the world thinks is so trivial is nakedness. Running around flaunting their bodies. Nakedness has killed its thousands and tens of thousands. Adultery, fornication, perversion, pornography, child molestations, nakedness, just the simple little thing called nakedness that the world thinks nothing about. Nevertheless, it's a big thing. Amen. Paul says, none of these things shall be able to separate us. Why? Because I'm paying attention to everything.
I'm guarding my convictions. Why? Because I'm giving earnest heed to the things which I've heard, the things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's how we do it. Praise God. And so, Lord, the Bible says that John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And the Lord began to talk to him about some churches. And one of the churches that he began to talk to was the church in Sardis. As he began to talk to that church in Sardis, he said, I want you to tell them to strengthen what remains. Sardis was known at one point in time as the impregnable. In other words, nobody was able to break in, to overcome, to destroy, to overthrow Sardis. Sardis was situated upon a large mountaintop, scaling cliffs on one side that needed not to be guarded because they were unconquerable. Nobody was able to climb it. The only thing that had to be guarded was the front. And that's what got them. They guarded that front one night during the nighttime when they were all asleep. There was a man of the opposing enemy that watched as a trooper was walking the walls and dropped his helmet down that wall. And lo and behold, the man appeared a few moments later, and he was walking on an unseeable trail. And he watched that man as he walked down the trail on that steep cliff and found his hat and picked it up. And lodged in a rock or whatever, it had stopped instead of plummeting all the way to the bottom. The man turned around and walked up, and so the enemy said, if he can do it, I can do it. And he searched until he found the trail. Went back and told those in charge, I found a way in. And in the cover of darkness, they went up that trail into the city and destroyed the city under the cover of darkness. You think that somebody would learn. But if history teaches us anything, it's that we don't learn from history. And such as history is being replayed right now. But many, many years later, Sardis was overthrown again the exact same way. Somebody had heard that they were overthrown and that there was a trail. And it just took a little while, but they found the trail. And something that was neglected overthrew them. And so now the Lord is speaking to the spiritual condition of the church. And he's telling the church, you need to strengthen the things that remain lest they die. That's not what people want to hear. That's not enjoyable. It kind of alludes to the fact of reality that there are some things that are dead. And the Lord just simply says, let's stop worrying about that and let's strengthen the things that remain. Praise God. Strengthen the things that you can. There's nothing that you can do for some of the past. There's nothing that you can undo. There's nothing that you can go back and redo and relive. It's forever gone. Strengthen the things that remain. Praise God. I could stop, and I'm going to stop for just a blip, for just a moment's time. And I want to give you some things to ponder. And then I want to get into what the Lord has spoken to my spirit. There are some things that are a part of this church that we don't need to ignore. We don't need to. They're almost dead. I know it's quiet, but the facts is the facts. There's some things that are almost dead. And it's up to us to strengthen them lest they die. Amen. Praise God. There's some things that need attention. Praise God. Amen. You know, prayer meeting and prayer service, there's times that it's about dead. Don't hear anybody praying. Don't hear anybody doing anything. It's just, it ought not to be so. I'm going to get on my wagon. Not my candy stick. I'm going to get on myself. But you know, there's some times that I'm praying and I want to stop just to see who's helping me pray. And I'm not hearing too many help me pray. And I could probably be okay if I looked around and saw people that were travailing or people that were interceding. But a lot of times I look around and I just see people that are just sitting there. There's some things that are dead. There are some things that are dying that we've got to strengthen. It takes effort to strengthen the things that remain. It's not easy to go talk about the things that are dying, but you know what? If we don't talk about the things that are dying, they're going to die. Outreach is almost a dead thing, and we've got to strengthen it. We're not pointing fingers at anybody. And I understand and know that the weather has been harsh and that, amen, it's getting back around to times that we can get together and we can go on organized outreach and we need to do it. And I know I'm preaching to everybody that's here tonight, and that's why I said I wish that everybody was here tonight. But you know why we forget about outreach? Because it's not that important. It's just a thing. It's too easy to say, well, I forgot about it. It's too easy for me to say that. I forgot about it. There's some things that are dying because there's no importance that's stuck to them anymore. It's something of the past. It's things that are simply dying away. Sunday school is dying. And Sunday school is going to pass away if somebody doesn't get, serious about it, amen, and make sure. But everybody is saying, well, I hope somebody else does it, but it's going to die if somebody doesn't pay attention to it and resurrect it. I'm preaching to myself. There's some things that are dying. Amen. That is the essence, that is the life of the church. And we cannot afford these things to die. Amen. I am a proponent of everyday outreach. Amen. You need to find somebody and reach out to them every day. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what happens sometimes is because that we have our one connection that we're connected to. We feel justified to not talk to anybody else because I'm working on this one. That's due. In those things where God said you should have done this, but you cannot leave the other things undone. We may have a Bible study here and there, but there's still countless numbers that are on their way to hell. We gotta be about the Father's business lest something dies. And it's easy to point fingers and say, well, somebody needs to start inviting people. No, we all just need to draw a circle and step inside of it and say, this is where it's got to start. It's got to start with me. If nobody else is going to bring people to church, I'm going to try my best. If nobody else is going to get kids to Sunday school, I'm going to try my best. Amen. I'm going to do whatever I got to do, but I cannot allow, amen, some things to die. I've got to make sure that I'm strengthening the things that remain lest they die. I don't want them to die. I don't want outreach to die. I don't want prayer meeting to die. I don't want Sunday school to die. I don't want these things to die. I've got to do something about it. I've got to encourage somebody. I got to prompt somebody. We got to do something lest these things that are so vital to the church pass away. Praise God. Oh, let's love the Lord here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Let me just reiterate again here tonight. That if I didn't say it, don't insinuate it. Don't think that I'm insinuating it. Amen. There's some things that I'm going to say tonight. Amen. And if there were other things that I needed or wanted to say right now, I would. But that's enough. You say, where's the hope? Where's the courage? I thought you were elated. I thought you were excited about all this. I am more than excited about it. Praise God. So I'm going to preach to you the rest of this message here tonight. I am reminded of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 10. Praying. Praying. And praying. Seeking an answer. And no answer would come. And he was praying. I would tell you today that Daniel's answer was delayed, not denied. But I feel like 21 days into it, Daniel was praying probably just as hard as he had prayed day one. You know, sometimes there's this moment that we've got to get so much faith that no matter what the obstacle is, we're even kill. God doesn't want us to be on this super high and then this super low. Now I'm going to tell you why you need to pray and why I need to pray. Because we are all susceptible to bad attitudes. And I have prayed specifically, God, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit in me. Because if I don't have a clean heart and I don't have a right spirit, I can't lead you correctly. I'm going to introduce depression. I'm going to introduce despair. I'm going to introduce anger. I'm going to introduce bitterness. And it's not going to help you. I'm the number one speaker in the church. I'm just the pastor. But if my spirit is not right, if my heart is not clean, amen, from out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And my spirit is going to bleed over into you, and it's not going to do any good. So I have to have my prayer time that I am praying. God, I've got to be excited for your people. God, I've got to be strong for your people. I've got to show them faith. I've got to show them encouragement. I've got to show them smiles and cheer and goodness. And I need you to help me with how I'm feeling right now. You say, well, how are you feeling? Well, how will you feel if you had gone for months with no visitors? How do you feel? How would you feel when you lay hands on people to pray for them and they don't get their healing? How do you feel when the baptistry goes empty for a lengthy period of time? How do you feel when there's nobody in the altars praying and seeking the Holy Ghost? How do you feel when there's nobody that's ready for new converts class? You don't feel like jumping up and clicking your heels together and saying, we got this. That's why you've got to go to the throne and you've got to say, God, I'm giving it all to you. And I need you to create in me a clean heart and a right spirit, that when I exit this prayer room tonight, God, that I got a smile upon my face. I got faith in my heart. I've got strength and joy and pep in my step, because that's what's going to bleed over to everybody else. I believe that's the way that Daniel was praying. Daniel was praying emphatically. He had purpose, and he was praying. And an angel would come down and say, look, God heard you day one, and he sent your answer, but it's been tied up in the spiritual world. Prince of Persia has confronted us, and we can't break through and get through. But your answer was on the way from day one. Let me just tell you kind of what happened today. I had a preacher that I was supposed to call several weeks ago, and I told him, I said, look, I said, I'll call you. Just hold your breath until I do. And he said, well, you better call the morgue or the graveyard. And so several weeks later, I got back to calling him. I called him, and it was right. I started talking to him, and we started discussing things, and he asked how it was going. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, it's tough. I said, right now, I said, I don't know if we could buy a visitor. We have a visitor every once in a while come, and it just seems like it, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, the first 2.5 years, we didn't have a problem with having visitors here. We had visitors all the time. We had visitors sitting all over the place. First 2.5 years, we had numerous people get the Holy Ghost, numerous people baptized. I've got record of it all. Every time we've baptized somebody, I've got record of it. Every time somebody received the Holy Ghost, I've got record of it. And I went back through and I reviewed all of it. I said, you know, 2.5 years, we had all that. In the last 2.5 years, it's just been tough. My pastor would say it's tough sledding when there ain't no snow. And I said, you know, I said, I just don't know what to do. I said, it's not breaking. I said, we got this and got that and stuff. I said, I just don't know. And he said, you know what? He said, we're going to pray together right now. And right there on that phone, he began to pray. And then he stopped and he said, Brother Cowan, he said, I think your answer is coming a whole lot sooner than you think that it is. He said, I even think that tonight God's going to give you a message that's going to flip the coin, that's going to take it through. Last night, God gave me 3 verses of this message while we was in prayer meeting. Strengthen the things that remain, the things which we have heard, we can't let them slip. And the one about Jesus saying, these things should you have done, but you can't leave the other things undone. And I had them right there on my computer. I'd already put them on my computer this morning as we began to talk about it. And I thought, no, I'm going to preach that Sunday night. We began to talk about things, and the Lord just began to move, and these things began to come to my mind. I would have to tell you tonight, I don't know exactly what Daniel was facing and what Daniel was going through. I just know that he prayed for 21 days, and he finally got an answer. Or let's put it this way, his answer was on the way. I don't know if things changed that day or anything, but nevertheless, there was something else that caught my attention. There was something else that got to me, because there's something that I've been praying about. There's something that I've been praying about for several months now. And one day during prayer meeting, this came to me. This thought came to me, and I began to pray it. And I have included it in my prayer as I pray it on a regular basis. And I began to pray. I said, God, would you restore the years? Would you restore the years? And as I began to pray, things began to open up, and I'd pray, God, restore the years. And that's what I've come to address to this church here tonight. Because it was several years ago, I conversed this and made sure that I'm on the same page with Brother Wirth's. We talked about it in the office before service, making sure that I had the details right. Several years ago, the devil took advantage of a situation and he tried to destroy the church. And like I said, if something's going to be said, I'm going to say it. Don't think anything else. No insinuation anywhere else. What's said is said. What I say is said. God, the devil took advantage. Brother Wirth's first wife, when she had the cancer and she would wind up passing away. And it was during that time that the enemy came in, taking advantage of a situation. All the young people left. Unscrupulous men began to siphon people out of the church. And good people walked out of the church. Numerous people walked out of the church during that time. I didn't agree with the situation then, and I didn't know all the details. The man was my friend, and I didn't agree with what happened. I didn't know any details. I don't agree with it to this day. But nevertheless, it's the past. And there's not a thing that can be done about it. We can't go knocking on a door and saying, hey, this was wrong. You're going to fix it. We're going to strengthen the things that remain. And I began to pray. And I said, God, I want you to restore the years. The Bible says in the book of Joel, chapter number 1, that Joel would begin to prophesy unto Zion and tell that city that there would come the canker worm and he would eat everything that he wanted, and then after that would come the locust and they would eat everything that they wanted, then the palmer worm would come and he eat everything, and then after that there's the caterpillar that would come and that would eat everything. And the Bible says that there was nothing left, that the land was extremely barren. And he began to talk about the cheek and the teeth of the lion. And then he said, you have barked my tree clean. In other words, they ate the bark off the tree. All the leaves were gone. It was a picture of utter desolation, destruction. There was no green leaves. There was no green grass. There was no color, no anything. It was destroyed. It was left for dead. Situations like this, I've prayed about this so many times. And situations like this, I've said, God, the enemy just about ripped the very heart of this church out. I'm just going to be blunt and honest, because there's some things that happened even after I came here. But from the time that before I came here until after I came here, there are musicians that, hey, good musicians that have walked out of this church, singers that have walked out of this church, choir directors, chorale leaders that have walked out of this church, other people that have walked out of this church. And it's all because the devil took advantage of a situation. Amen. And he's thinking to himself, it's dead, it's over, there's hardly any life left in it, and it's just what it is. But there is a spirit of God that has come upon me and has said, amen, there's a lot of things that you can't fix. There's a lot of things that you can't go undo. But if you will strengthen the things that remain, if you will strengthen the things that remain, there will be life that will be breathed back into the church. There will be things that come back to life and resurrect, and the Holy Ghost will begin to do a marvelous work in our midst. I'm not done. I came into the church and the sanctuary, and I spent time in here, and I began to pray about these things, and I began to line it out. God didn't need me to line it out, but I lined it out so that every devil in hell could hear. Amen. And I said, amen, there are musicians that have left. Amen. But before we go there, amen, the Bible says, call a fast. Amen. Let there be a prayer meeting. Let there be weeping between the porch and the altar, and sanctify a fast, and call a solemn assembly. You know what he was saying? Somebody needs to start fasting. Somebody needs to start praying. Is that not what we have been doing? We've been praying. We've been fasting, and things are happening. He said, call a solemn assembly. What does that mean? Let's have church. Praise God. He said, blow the trumpet in Zion. He just simply said, preach. Amen. He said, be not afraid. Be glad. And God will cause the former rain and the latter rain to come. And a few verses later, he said it like this. I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. God said, I'm going to restore everything that you lost. I'll restore it. And so I began to pray and I began to line it out. I said, God, we're missing generation. We're missing everybody from 25 years of age to 40 years of age. We're missing them. Not only are we missing them, we're missing their children. That's what's missing. That's what the devil stole. Amen. I said, God, I said, how many keyboard players have walked out? How many organ players have walked out? I said, God, I want them all restored. How many drum players have walked out? I said, God, I want them restored. How many singers have walked out? I said, God, I want the singers restored. Amen. Every piece of talent that was there, I said, God, I want it restored. And not only do I want them restored, I want their children restored. I'm not talking about a backslider coming home. Amen. There's some spirits I don't want to come back. Amen. But all of those, amen, in that 25 to 40 years of age, amen, somebody's going to come in and sit on their pew. Somebody's going to come in and take their place. Because God said, I'm going to restore, amen, the years. And as I was praying, amen, boldness came upon me and conviction was there. Amen. And I said, God, I want you to restore everything. Restore everything. Every man that left out, I want them restored. Every woman that walked out, I want them restored. Every child that they would have had, I want them restored. I am expecting God to restore the years. You know something? That's something that God is going to do. But you know what we've got to do? We got to strengthen the things that remain. We got to do what we can do. And God will do what he can do. Let's stand and love the Lord here tonight. The altars are open here tonight, but some of you stop praying about your promises because it's just a thing now of the past. I'm telling you to come start praying about those promises. You need to come start praying about some prophetic utterances. You need to make them important again. Don't let them just be something of the past. Is it just a thing? Is it just a thing, or does it have prophecy written on it? Is it just a thing, or is it a promise? Is it just a thing, or is it a word from God? Is it just a thing, or is it a soul? Is it just a thing, or is it prayer? Is it fasting? Is it just a thing, or is it outreach? Amen. Amen. The only reason that they become things, amen, is because we fail to give it proper credence. It's not just a thing. It's not just a thing. Amen. This is the things of God. He said, strengthen the things that remain. You need to give heed to the things which you have heard. Amen. God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and death. There are some things that we have done, amen, but some other things that we don't need to leave undone. Hallelujah. God, it's more than just a thing. It's more than just a thing. Hallelujah. Oh God, we're going to give proper attention to it. And we're going to strengthen. We're going to strengthen. We're going to strengthen the things that remain. Strengthen the things that remain. Hallelujah.